Once again, good morning, and a special welcome to any visitors we have, or maybe people coming back for the first time to Mass after the pandemic. It's good to have you all here this morning. Any people who are in for the track meet as well, definitely welcome to Aggie Land. I think we had, 24 Aggies maybe qualify for the national championship for track, which is awesome. We also have these awesome new vestments, Aggie vestments, I'd say. So we've had a set of green and purple and red for our liturgical seasons, but for some reason we didn't have the white set. So you use white for Easter and feast days and solemnities and weddings and sometimes funerals. So it's definitely a great gift to have our handsome vestments, not pretty, right? We could say beautiful. But my brothers and sisters in Christ, on this solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, what if I told you the most important relationship in your life is not your relationship with God? The most important relationship in your life is not your relationship with God. Some of you might be like, Father Chris, you've been out in the sun a little too long this past weekend. But I stand by this statement. The most important relationship in your life is not your relationship with God. It is the relationship of the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The relationship of the triune God. Three persons, one God. And then the second most important relationship in your life and in my life is our relationship with the Holy Trinity. Now, this relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, my friends, is the central mystery of our faith. More central than God the Son becoming man at the incarnation in Jesus Christ. Even more central than the mystery of the Eucharist, Corpus Christi, which we'll celebrate next weekend. The church herself shows us that the Trinity is the central mystery of the faith by the very act of baptizing us into the Trinity. Because as we know, that's how we become Christians. That's how we attain eternal life, is through baptism. We are to be baptized into this mystery, the mystery of the triune God. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My friends, that's the solemnity that we're celebrating today. The mystery in which we are all baptized the day we received the grace and the indwelling life of the Trinity into our very souls. As we even know, we start every single Mass with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not only the Holy Spirit, though, that we know that dwells within us from our baptism, but it's actually the entire Trinity, is the divine life within each of the baptized. It's a great mystery and the greatest gift that we could ever receive. Now, the central mystery of our faith, as St. Gregory said, is a divine revelation that is gradually revealed to us. So the Old Testament, St. Gregory says, reveals the Father. The Gospels reveal the Son. And the post-Easter letters of St. Paul in the book of Acts reveal the Spirit. Well, I'd argue with St. Gregory, and he probably agrees with this too, that actually the Old Testament reveals all three persons if we look close enough. Even from the very beginning, we know that the Word, God spoke the world into being through the Word, and that the Spirit hovered over the waters at the beginning of creation, that all three persons were present at creation. Now, the reason that the Church in her wisdom has the solemnity of the Holy Trinity fall after Pentecost, so last weekend's Pentecost, this week Holy Trinity, is because the Trinity is now fully revealed at Pentecost. It's not by chance that this Sunday is placed as it is. Now, the Trinity is a great mystery, and it's hard for us in our finite human capacity sometimes to fully understand that our God is one God, but three persons. Not three gods, not three mini-gods, but one God. And our human language to describe who our God is falls short. You know, we even try to come up with analogies to try to describe our God, so such as the three-leaf clover analogy, so trying to think of the three persons but still one God, or some people use the stages of water, so ice, steam, liquid, but all of these also fall short of trying to describe exactly who our triune God is. The one way I think we can try to understand him a little bit more, even in our finite capacity, is to see how we relate with him. And we relate with God as a person, and then trying to relate with each of the three divine persons, and also the relationships between them, as well as their relationship with us. Now, St. Augustine described the Holy Trinity as the lover, the beloved, and love. So the lover, the beloved, and love. So these three persons who are in relation through love. Now, in our culture today, our understanding of the individual person is greatly under attack. What does it even mean to be a person anymore? Our society's blurring that definition, which is causing a lot of pain and hurt in our society and in our humanity. The tradition of the church would say, through the philosopher Boethius, that a person is an individual substance of a rational nature. A person is an individual substance of a rational nature. We know that a person's not an isolated being, but they're open to another. That a person is a social being in relation with others. So to sum it up, we'd say we believe a person is a unique subject who's in relation with others. So from the moment that a child is conceived in his or her mother's womb, the baby is a person who's in relation with his or her mom, and then his or her dad. Now we know, sadly, through the history of our world, because of somebody who was Jewish at one time in our world, and even we'd say sometimes today, they've been seen by society as not a human person. Or maybe the very skin color of a human being, which is an attribute of a person, caused people of color to not be seen as a person and with their dignity, or not respected in even our nation's history. Now, currently in our world today, we have persons who are in grave danger in many countries, particularly to the south of us. Persons who are starving or having children who are starving or lacking medical care or education. Now, some in society would say these are not persons, or at least turn a deaf ear to their cries. Unfortunately, this hot topic of welcoming immigrants and migrants who are firstly persons has become political. The church, though, stands firm on protecting all God's people from conception to natural death, including those fleeing from corrupt governments, extreme poverty, and undignified ways of life. We must always remember we're not first Republicans or Democrats, that we are firstly Catholics. Now, this past week, I was just on the border in the valley in Brownsville, McAllen, Harlingen, with a group of about 20 of our Aggie Catholic students on a mission trip. And in light of the value of a person, as we reflect today, in light of the divine persons, I'd like to share a few stories and perspectives from these students as we served hundreds of migrants who have been granted asylum in our country after fleeing their own countries. So firstly, for a little bit of background of what we experienced this past week. So we worked in a humanitarian respite center in McAllen. It's the one who's run by Sister Norma. Maybe some of you know her from a couple of years ago when she's on national television with Pope Francis interviewing her through Skype. Now, this humanitarian center that used to be an old nightclub, actually, and then turned into a humanitarian center, is a temporary housing place for migrants. It became a temporary home for 400 to 600 moms and children and a few dads. The people stay at this center just in transition for a few days. And after they leave, another group is coming in. So it's just a revolving door of constantly, there's 600 people or so in this center. Many of these people that we spoke with had been journeying through Mexico for 20 to 25 days by foot or by bus. And they primarily came from El Salvador, Nicaragua, Honduras, or Guatemala. Now, our first day at the humanitarian center, one of our students said, he's in the Corps of Cadets, he said he looked into one of the woman's eyes that he was helping, and I quote, "What I saw was her pain, her fear, her hunger, and tiredness, and this shook me to my core. I can't explain it. It sat so heavy in me." Now, after leaving their country and journeying for 20 or so days, these people were living in a tent city on the border in Mexico, so on that side of the border, and waiting for their individual cases to be granted in the U.S. as refugees as they were seeking asylum. They are waiting to be connected with family members or friends who are already over here and who've agreed to host them. Now, as these families come into the U.S., they have nothing. And so the Catholic Charities Humanitarian Respite Center in McAllen and other ministries across the valley help these people to get clothing, baby formula, medicine, and other essentials to begin their life here. This also provides an opportunity for them to take a shower, which they haven't had in about a month, or have a warm meal. And as they finish their long journey, a place of opportunity for them to have a breath to feel safe and to allow their children to feel safe as well. One of our students, Victoria, who is working with helping the women get clothes for themselves and for their children, asked a woman what clothes she needed, and the woman responded, "I need everything." This made Victoria stop and think, wow, everything. She realized how much she takes for granted in her life as she stood in front of a woman who was truly in need of everything. Not just a shirt or socks or shoes, but everything. Now, many of our students also had encounters with the little children that were there who were running around or in their mother's arms. They played soccer with them, they drew pictures with them, and our students were exhausted at the end of the day because the children wanted their undivided attention. As one of our students, Natalie, said, she said, "After such a long journey, these children are starving to be known, to be loved, to feel safe and cared for. And that's what I was trying to do with them, even in the little Spanish that I know. I guess the language they could understand most was the language of love." It was also amazing to see how many pregnant women made this journey who had been pregnant 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 months. And I can't imagine the rough conditions they experienced during their journey. I know for me, having my own sister who has 2 little boys, just always came to me as I saw these kids running around in these horrible conditions to think that they are also the nephews of someone else. For me, this past week was a reminder of how much I needed the poor. The poor, in a sense, do not need me. I need to be reminded of how comfortable a life I live and how truly blessed I am to have a warm meal and a bed to sleep in and a beautiful church to worship in. I'm also reminded of Jesus' saying in Scripture that it's easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I think he says this because he sees that the poor must rely on God in everything because they have nothing else. And I would say I think they're more likely closer to heaven than I am. So many times technology, material things, the comforts of modern daily life get in the way of my reliance on God and my trust in Him. The migrants and the poor remind me to have a grateful heart, to rely on God with my whole heart, mind, and strength, and to always keep heaven on my heart. Not to feel guilty, but to feel grateful. Overall, we had an amazing week. I know one or two of the students are actually here with us today. It was hard, you know, we didn't sleep a lot. They have huge mosquitoes in the valley. We were uncomfortable as we experienced the great pain and suffering of our brothers and sisters. But this was the exact gift of God that each of us needed, to allow the poor to teach us, to remind us about the importance and great dignity of each individual human person. And that for some reason, our triune God chose us to be born in the States and these people to be born in other places. And I think this is also a great mystery of our faith and who our God is. But I would remind the students, it's not for us to feel guilty, but it allows us to remind ourselves of the gratefulness and the blessing God has given us. It keeps us on our knees, but it's also a call to action, to help and to give. To whom much has been given, much is expected. But because as we contemplate the mystery of the Holy Trinity as 3 divine persons and 1 God, we remember that that same Holy Trinity that dwells in me and dwells in you, all the baptized, also dwells in all the baptized brothers and sisters that are on the border. Somos el cuerpo de Cristo. We are the body of Christ.
Thank you for listening to Aggie Catholic Homilies. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Be sure to check out our sister podcast, Aggie Catholic Talks, to hear talks from Magnify, Catholicism 101, and more. Thanks, God bless, and gig 'em.